The Spirit of God is a contrarian, which is to say that in those moments when we come like the rich young ruler or the Apostle Paul, full of our religious knowledge, sure of our righteousness, impressed with our goodness, the Spirit of God comes and punctures that knowledge and brings us down a notch or two. The Spirit of God comes to us in our smug self-righteousness and says, "You don't really know yourself very well, do you? You don't see yourself very clearly. How far you have fallen short of the calling of God." And yet, in those moments when we are paralyzed with a sense of worthlessness, when we are floored by our failures, fixated on our foibles, when we have no sense of self-worth, no sense of hope, the Spirit of God comes to us then and says to us, "My child, I made you. Rise. I can make something of you. I can do something with you. I can use your life. I can make you somebody." The leper in this text is a nobody. He knows it. His society has told him time and time again. He is a nobody. He is a no count. He has a disease that has manifested itself in pustules on his joints. And his bones are weakening, marked by open sores. His bones are actually falling away from his body. He is being plagued with a ravenous thirst and a gut-wrenching nausea. Leprosy was a horrible way to die. The culture feared it, and so lepers were shunted to the margins of society, forced to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," when normal people came by. This man knows he is a nobody. And yet when he sees Jesus the Christ coming near him, he believes that Christ can make him someone. He refuses to accept the images of negativity that had been foisted upon him. He goes to the Christ, falls at him prostrate, and says, "If you will, you can make me clean." Jesus looks at him. He sees this man's passion for life, sees his ambition to make something of his existence, sees his yearning to be whole again. And Jesus says, "I will." He reaches out and touches this unclean man, and the leprosy leaves the man's being. I want to ask you a question. What was the determinative factor in his healing? Was it God transforming power? Certainly that was necessary. Was it Christ's amazing compassion? That was crucial. But the determinative factor in his healing is this man's desire to make something of his life. His passion for healing, his trust in the Christ, is what made him whole. Now that raises another question. If this leper had not come and fallen before Jesus and implored the Christ to heal him, would Christ have done so? My answer is no. Are you saying, preacher, that Christ in his compassion, Christ in his power, could have passed by this man, this leper, and not healed him unless he asked for it? Yes. Because Jesus was not simply out to heal this man of leprosy. He was out to make him whole. Whole in body, soul, spirit, mind, faith. Now you may struggle with that. You mean Christ wouldn't have given his compassion to someone who didn't ask for it? And the best way I can answer that is what I call the parable of the box turtle. Some years ago, I was running down the road, an early morning road. The traffic hadn't yet intensified, and there was a beautiful box turtle crawling his way across the highway. I thought, time for your good deed for the day. Bent down, picked up the box turtle, carried him across the road, stuck him in the grass, and went on with my run. When I came back, I realized the box turtle had perversely turned around and gone back into the road and been turned into turtle goo by somebody's tire. The box turtle hadn't appreciated my gift. The box turtle hadn't understood my gift. The box turtle hadn't asked for my gift. And my gift of kindness was wasted. How often God stands outside our lives, anxious to give us gifts, anxious to bestow mercy and grace, anxious to grant us deliverance from what imprisons us. But we won't ask for it. We aren't ready to receive it. We aren't truly desiring to be made whole. How many of us look at our character and see our flaws? How many of us sense our failures? We're racked by guilt, paralyzed by our weakness, circumscribed by our prejudice. And yet we say with resignation, that's just the way I am. That's not what Christ intends for us. How many of us feel imprisoned? Imprisoned by our weaknesses, paralyzed to change. When all we need to do is to summon the trust in Christ that the leper summoned and come to Christ in complete openness and confidence and say, Lord, I know you can make me somebody. You can make something out of my life. On this week, when looking forward to the church river rafting trip, my mind goes back a few years to the Nantahala National Forest. When Melissa and I took a group of youth and older children to the Nantahala for a week's camping camp, then one of the highlights of the camping camp was what we called the long hike. 7 miles up the mountain to a pinnacle, 7 miles back. And the kids were really excited about the hike until the first couple of miles up the hill. And then we had to send some of them back. But there was this young girl who comes up to me as we're walking up the trail, and she says, Dr. Krimmer, this is wonderful. This is like a magical kingdom. It is so amazing. And about 20 minutes later, she's pulling on my shirt and says, Dr. Krimmer, I can't breathe. I guess I should let you know I have asthma. And I'm thinking, you picked a heck of a time to tell me. So I say to the other chaperones, you take the other kids on up the mountain, I'll shepherd Kathy back. No. No, Dr. Kramer. I want to go to the top. Kathy, don't you understand? Every step up the mountain is a step you have to take back down the mountain. Yes. Please let me go. All right. So as the rest of the group moves up the hill, we slowly but surely make our trek with her wheezing, gasping for breath all the way. And as we're walking, I ask myself, what is making this child do this? What is compelling her up this mountain in so much pain? And then I thought about her life. She came from a broken home, a home without many resources, a home without much affirmation or encouragement. She didn't receive many attaboys. And she saw in the act of climbing that mountain a pinnacle of achievement that would make her feel powerful. Something that would draw her out of herself. And so she walked. How many of us feel the tug of God calling us out of ourselves to stretch ourselves, to trust Christ to make us somebody whose life really counts? I have spent my life as a preacher, teacher, and coach. And I can tell you, there are two types of people who cannot learn. One of them is a small group, and the child might be 8 or 18 or 68. And that is someone who thinks they already know it all. They already have it all figured out. And so they don't need and can't learn anymore. And the truth is, they are right. But that's a small group. The larger group of people who can't learn are the people who are imprisoned by their fear of failure. They focus, oh, I may make a mistake. I may not get it right. I may not accomplish what I set out to do. They're paralyzed by their fear. And so they think, I can't learn. And in that state of mind, they are right. They are the kind of people who frustrate every preacher, every coach, every teacher. Because they won't cast away their fear and open their souls and maximize the gifts that God has given them. When they do, when they come to the realization God has made them and endowed them with abilities, when they realize that God can make them somebody and they cast out their fear, they are free to learn. Free to grow. How many of us think, I'm the only person that's really failed in life? I'm the only person who's ever botched a job. I'm the only person who's failed at relationships. I'm the only person who's really messed things up. I'm the only person who made stupid choices. The truth is, we're all flawed. We all come with a litany of failures behind us. Some of us weighed down by sorrow or guilt or frustration. But Christ calls us to put those things aside, to realize with the leper, we are somebody. Lord, you can make me somebody. And to come to our Christ in trust and confidence and to cast out fear. Slowly, painstakingly, Kathy and I reached that pinnacle and then started down. About 2 miles from the camp, I thought she was about to faint. And I remember taking her hand and slowing our pace even more, step by step by step. But when we reached the camp, the kids were there with a chair for her, cups of cold water. They gathered around her and chanted her name as she came in to the campsite. And I thought, this is what the kingdom of God is supposed to be like. The people of God gathering around in affirmation of someone who has attained their pilgrimage. The kingdom of God is meant to affirm us as we come to the Christ and say, Lord, you can make me somebody. How many invitations, Sunday after Sunday, go unheard, unresponded, as people remain paralyzed and imprisoned within their fear, thinking they're really not anyone of worth. Our Lord beckons. Come, 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 and I will make you whole. I will make you somebody. May we hear that invitation and cast off all fear and respond. May we pray together. Lord, even as your Spirit calls us to stretch ourselves out of our comfort zone, to leave the imprison of our fear, the litany of our failure, may we come unto you with confidence and with joy that you can make us whole. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Even as a spirit.